Ezekiel chapter 24, and I want to read a short passage, Ezekiel 24:15 through 24. Hear God's word. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, I am about to take from you the desire of your eyes with a blow. But you shall not mourn, and you shall not weep, and your tears shall not come. Groan silently, make no mourning for the dead, bind on your turban and put your shoes on your feet, and do not cover your mustache, and do not eat the bread of men. So I spoke to the people in the morning, and in the evening my wife died. And in the morning I did as I was commanded. The people said to me, Will you tell us what these things that you are doing mean for us? Then I said to them, The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Speak to the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am about to profane my sanctuary, the pride of your power, the desire of your eyes, the delight of your soul, and your sons and your daughters, whom you have left behind, will fall by the sword. You will do as I have done. You will not cover your mustache. You will not eat the bread of men. Your turbans will be on your heads and your shoes on your feet. You will not mourn and you will not weep, but you will rot away in your iniquities and you will groan to one another. Thus Ezekiel will be a sign to you. According to all that he has done, you will do. When it comes, then you will know that I am the Lord God. May God be pleased to bless to us the reading of his word. A little picture on the website was that of both Jew and Gentile standing before the Western Wall or the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. And one of the men had a yellow shirt on, so he was a little prominent. And the caption on the picture reads like this: The West Wailing Wall, or the Wall of Prayer. The guy in the bright yellow shirt is my buddy, Pastor Steve Hayes. We both had quite an experience at the wall and felt the presence of God there. This spot was very important to me. I got to know the Lord in a new way that day. The pride and the desire and the joy of the heart of both Jew and Gentile, both Jew and Christian, it would seem, is that wall, that Western Wall, known as the Wailing Wall. And, of course, it is a retaining wall that upholds a portion of real estate where the temple of old stood, which, as we see in our text, was the desire of the eyes of the ancient Jewish people. But Ezekiel prophesies the destruction of that temple. And as Ezekiel prophesies the destruction of that temple, we ought to see that the destruction of the temple carries some significance, and that when the desire of the Jewish eye is taken away, that is, the temple, it is actually replaced by Jesus Christ, who ought to be the desire of your eyes, and you ought to desire Him. And that's really the point I want you to get from this text today, is that when God in His providence swept away that ancient temple, the desire of Jewish eyes, it was Jesus Christ who was established as the desire of your eyes, and you ought to look to Him as such. Our text does lead us in this direction, I think. In verses 15 and 16, we read a very extraordinary circumstance into which God takes Ezekiel. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, I am about to take from you the desire of your eyes with a blow. God was taking Ezekiel's wife away from him. I can hardly imagine God taking the wife, my wife of over 40 years, away from me as an object lesson for the church. The scenario might be like this, that a group of people have come out of a liberal setting and have desired to form a more conservative congregation. And after they formed that congregation, they called you as their pastor. And when you've come into that situation and begun to preach the word of God to the people to steer them in the direction God desires, you found out that they believe, and the leaders of this little church believe, that that church belongs to them. It's their church, and they don't like you tampering with it. And so God says to you, I'm going to teach them a lesson. They think that church is the desire of their eyes and they're in control of it. Well, I'm going to teach them a lesson. And the way I'm going to teach this lesson is I'm going to take the desire of your eyes, your wife, away from you. I think I might say, hands up. Time out. I don't know if I'm ready for that or not. But you see, that's exactly what God was doing with Ezekiel. And the point is that Ezekiel was to portray to the exiles who were away from Jerusalem the fact that that temple back in Jerusalem, the desire of their eyes, was in fact going to be taken away from them. And we see this in verse 21. Speak to the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am about to profane my sanctuary. The pride of your power, the desire of your eyes, the delight of your soul, and your sons and your daughters whom you have left behind will fall by the sword. Now, to get the idea that this temple really was the delight of their eyes, think about this Western Wall again. The Wailing Wall. And this Western Wall was really a wall that was built to as a retaining wall. And the temple was on top of this little mound, and a retaining wall, held up this piece of real estate. And the significance of the Western Wall was this, that the temple faced east. And when you went into the temple, you came to the holy place, and then you came to the most holy place, and then outside the temple, see, was this Western Wall in close proximity to the holy place. And many rabbis today believe that the presence of God is permanent in that place, and that the Western Wall then represents the closest an individual can get today to the presence of God, which is permanently in that place. And for many Jews, this has become the most holy place they can visit. And this Christian, as I just read earlier, said, oh yes, this was a wonderful experience for me and my friend. We got to know the Lord in a much more profound way in that place, you see. And so, for many, that Western Wall has become the desire of their eyes and the pride of life, as it were. And if that's true today, imagine what it was when the temple was still actually standing. You remember the disciples? They looked at the temple and they said, wow, look at that, Lord. Isn't that something? You see. And it was the desire of their eyes. But now, Ezekiel is portraying and setting before the people that this temple will be destroyed. And when it is destroyed, they are not to mourn, as he is not to mourn the death of his wife. Look at verses 16 and 17 now. Son of man, behold, I am about to take from you the desire of your eyes with a blow, but you shall not mourn, you shall not weep, your tears shall not come. Groan silently, make no mourning for the dead. Bind your turban on your turban, and put your shoes on your feet, and do not cover your mustache, and do not eat the bread of men. Don't act like someone who is mourning. Don't take your turban off and throw dust on your head. Say, keep your shoes on and don't walk barefoot in the dust as you were someone who is mourning. Don't accept the food that people bring to you after the funeral. You're familiar with that procedure, aren't you? Don't bother with that food. Don't eat it. This must have astonished the people who were watching Ezekiel. But Ezekiel says, notice verses 21 through 23 again. Speak to the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm about to profane my sanctuary, the pride of your power, the desire of your eyes, the delight of your soul, and your sons and your daughters whom you have left behind will fall by the sword. You will do as I have done. You will not cover your mustache. You will not eat the bread of men. Your turbans will be on your heads and your shoes on your feet. You will not mourn and you will not weep, but you will rot away in your iniquities and you will groan to one another. You're not to mourn the destruction of that temple when it comes, you see. Ezekiel is saying to them. And one reason I think they are not to mourn is that they are to recognize that the destruction of the temple is God's judgment upon Jerusalem and God's judgment upon that center of worship. You notice verse 23 again. But you will rot away in your iniquities and you will groan to one another. You're going to remain here in exile. God is not going to deliver you quickly. Jeremiah had already sent the exiles a letter from Jerusalem saying, you need to settle down, build houses, raise families. You're going to be there for a while. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. And now Ezekiel, in this very profound illustration, is coming to them and showing them, no, Jeremiah was right. That temple is going to be destroyed. You're going to be here for a while. See? Because that temple, when you were back there, was used in improper ways. And God is not pleased with the way you utilized the place of worship. And so he's going to destroy it. And you need to recognize that that's the case. Now, I want you to take notice of something here. That God similarly judged the temple in the time of Jesus. Let's go to the New Testament, to the Gospel of Matthew, and chapter 21 in the Gospel of Matthew. In chapter 21, we have the story of the triumphal entry, Jesus coming into Jerusalem and his being worshipped on that occasion. And then, after he triumphantly came into Jerusalem, he went into the temple, and verse 12 in chapter 21 says, and Jesus entered the temple and drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a robber's den. Jesus not only goes into the temple and turns over the tables of the money changers and casts out the animals, but he utters these words of condemnation. My house shall be called a house of prayer. You are not using it properly. you are making it a robber's den, like a cave into which robbers flee after they have committed their crimes, and you think you can hide there and be safe before God. Not so. A couple of days later, notice what Jesus says, chapter 23 and verses 37 and following. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. And Jesus Christ walks away from the temple. Your house, he says, is being left to you desolate. You have misused it. Just like the people of old in the time of Jeremiah and Ezekiel misused it. And just like that temple was destroyed in that day, so it will be destroyed once again. And in chapter 27, in verses 50 and 51, notice what happens in the temple. Matthew 27, 50 and 51, and Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The temple, by the death of Jesus Christ, was rendered obsolete, because a new and living way into the most holy place was now provided by the Savior, Jesus Christ. And to affirm the fact that the temple was now made obsolete, a few years later, it was utterly destroyed, not to be rebuilt. And all that remains is that Wailing Wall, the Western Wall, to which men and women can come and offer their prayers. Let's go back to Ezekiel now. The people were wondering, what does this mean? What does this mean? Look at verse 19 in Ezekiel 24. The people said to me, "Will you not tell us what these things mean that you are doing, what these things that you are doing mean for us?" The people knew that Ezekiel was a prophet, and they not only wanted to know what these things meant, but they wanted to know what these things meant for them. You see how it's written? What these things mean for us. And in verse 24, we read, "Thus Ezekiel will be a sign to you, according to all that he has done, you will do. When it comes, then you will know that I am the Lord God." In other words, when the temple is destroyed, you will think about what Ezekiel has said, and you will think about his wife being taken away from him, the desire of his eyes, and you will know that the desire of your eyes has been taken away from you. And when you put all of that together, you will realize that I am the Lord who rules over you. Is this not the case when you fast forward to the time of Jesus? That when the temple is destroyed, it is destroyed for the purpose of people like you and me recognizing that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And he is the one who died in payment for your sins and mine. It is not those animals in the temple pointing to Jesus Christ that are of the greatest significance. No, it is Jesus Christ who is of great significance. And it is not the temple of old that ought to be the desire of the eyes of men and women. It ought to be Jesus Christ who is the desire of the eyes of men and women. Because that Old Testament temple pointed to Him. And when God in His providence took away the desire of the eyes of the Jews, that is the temple, He set before you and me Jesus Christ. And He must be the desire of your eyes, you see. That is what God was up to in all of this. So it's very amazing to me that even today in evangelical circles, there's a desire for a rebuilding of the temple. Correct? And it's the desire of the eyes of many Christians, as it has been the desire of the eyes of many Jews. Misplaced desire. Because God's plan was, with the taking away of the temple and the removal of the desire of the eyes of the Jews, He sets before you and me Jesus Christ. And He must be, not that temple of old, He must be the desire of your eyes. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Jesus Christ. Thank You that Your plan was that this temple should stand and point to the Savior. And as it has pointed to the Savior, and He has come, that temple and all of its accoutrements have gone by the board, so that now Jesus Christ is set before us as the desire of our eyes. May this be the case, we pray, in His good name. Amen.